Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as I continue on in a message according to His Word. And as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were looking at the story of Adam and Eve and their fall in the garden. And I'd like to read just a few verses from chapter 3 of Genesis. And that chapter opens by the serpent addressing the woman. And he said, "Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman responds, "Yes, we can, but not the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Well, he just says, did not to eat of it. And then, of course, the serpent, who is representative of Satan, just denied that that was true. He said, "You're not going to die. God knows that when you eat that, you're going to be like Him. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil." And so they succumbed to the temptation, and the Lord was in the habit of walking with them in the garden in the cool of the day, but they hid from the presence of the Lord. And in verse 10, Adam said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Isn't it? When sin entered into the human race, they had not known fear before that. And so the Lord responded, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree which I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And of course, the man blamed Eve. "Well, that woman you gave me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat." And of course, when God addressed Eve, "What have you done?" She said, "Well, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat." And it's very important to understand the details. That next verse, verse 14, "The Lord God said unto the serpent," or to Satan, "because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Whether we may not understand the full ramifications of that, but he's where that may have been true in terms of the natural serpent who allowed the enemy to do that. But in verse 15, he's definitely addressing Satan. And he says, "I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That's a reference to the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. But it's interesting to note, in the next two verses, God, he cursed Satan, but he did not curse Adam and Eve. What he said specifically to the woman, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And then to Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife, which I commanded you not to do, to eat of the tree which I commanded thee not, thou shalt," he said, "cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life." Whereas food was not an issue, it was plentiful, it was available. We know mankind had, because of sin, was forced to work and labor hard for everything that they needed for natural life, for food, for shelter. They had to work with their own hands to make it happen. And not only that, "Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return." And this is the part I wanted you to see. Verse 22, the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us." He's speaking, representing the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to know good and evil. "And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from when he was taken. He drove off the man. He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." So God was taking precautions that Adam was not going to eat of the tree of life and remain in that condition. He had failed God. They both did. They were cast out of God's presence. They lost their estate. But Jesus is the tree of life. And it's interesting that of all the ways of death, the ways that death could be meted out to man, that in the course of time, in terms of the Romans' rulership of that area, their preferred method of execution was crucifixion, which was horrific. It was slow, it was agonizing, and they did it generally in a very popular walkway, so it would be an object lesson to anyone not to oppose the Romans as their governors. So God has given man a conscience, and every one of us, we, even if we haven't heard the gospel, we know basically in our heart, even the most remote tribes, there's a value system. There are things they should do, they know to be good, and things that shouldn't be done. And I'd like to share now some verses found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, and I'll start reading at verse 11. "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come," think about that. He came as a high priest of good things to come. We're still not experiencing the fullness of those good things to come. As God's children, we can experience provision for all of our needs, not just the physical, natural things pertaining to this life, but the spiritual needs, the fellowship, the things that we can learn of our God, His will from the Word of God. We can learn about Him and learn to be like Him. That's why He came, the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Praise God. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, verse 14, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Praise God. So, beloved, Jesus is our high priest. He intercedes for us. He's seated at the right hand of God. And I want you to notice that Paul states in these verses of scripture I just shared with you that Jesus Christ became a high priest of something. What does the word say? He became a high priest of good things to come. That speaks of eventual complete restoration at the end of time, not just meeting our needs in this earthly existence, but man will be restored to perfect fellowship with ultimately a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There's some theologians who believe that the book of Hebrews really was authored by someone other than Paul. Yet when you read its contents, you will find a continuity that can't be denied. When you read Hebrews, it does sound like the language and the thinking, the thought process of Paul. It's a great revelation of what the Lord did from the time he was nailed to that cruel cross and was made sin for us, and then ascended to the right hand of the Father and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. In the beginning, God created someone that was to have his authority on the earth, and that was man, created in the image and likeness of God. He possessed righteous authority, if you please. That was man. God made man in his own image, that we would the fullness of that we may not fully understand, but we know that we have an emotional nature, a spiritual nature. In that sense, we are spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit man is eternal, will live forever, and man has the choice of where they want to go. I frequently said to friends, God doesn't send anyone to hell. That's a choice they make on their own decision, because God has made a way for us. So when Satan fell into this earth, he decided that he would attack the creation of God. And what was the most precious thing to God? Yes, he loved the earth that he created, but it was man, Adam and Eve. And since Satan couldn't overthrow God in heaven, and Satan was cast out of the presence of God, along with one-third of the angels, he attacked this earth. And then, of course, he proceeded to attack the creation of God. And he attacked by wiles, by deceptions. He lied. He deluded the creation of God. He deluded Adam and Eve into believing that God really didn't mean what he said, but he did, or that he was holding out on them. And when man disobeyed the word of the Lord by eating of the forbidden tree, he lost that place of authority and came under the bondage of sin. That sin brought death, and then that evolved into physical and, of course, spiritual death, unless we are united through the blood of Jesus to our Heavenly Father. Praise God. Well, my time has flown, and we will continue this message on tomorrow's broadcast. I thank you for joining me. If you have prayer needs, as always, I invite you to write and share those needs. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you and pray for you every day. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,